Begin the current daf, Masechtas Tmur daf Yud Tes. Begin 3 lines down at the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is we had in our Mishnah a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanna Kamma regarding a case of someone designated his Karban Oila with a female. A female cannot be a Karban Oila, but that's what he designated, and that female, that animal had a child, a male. So what do you do with that male child? So the Tanna Kamma says, so you let it graze till it develops a blemish, and then with the proceeds you go out and you buy a Karban Oila. Rabbi Eliezer said that no, he says it itself is a zachar, and it's a derivation from an oila, so it sacrificed itself as a Karban Oila. Now the thing is, the Gemara asked a contradiction from a Mishnah later on the Chafim Abayis regarding a similar type of a case as our Mishnah, where the child is a male that's fit to be brought as a Karban, but it's derived from something that's not fit, where it's the tumura of an asham, or it's the child of a tumura of an asham, where this child is, there's a machlik is exactly what's done with it. But Rabbi Laza says, what you do is you bring from its proceeds a Karban Oila. But you see from its proceeds, not from the thing itself. Why is it different in the case of our Mishnah? So Rabbi Chizkiya says, you're right. It was only Rabbi Laza that was responding, according to the Rabbanan, at least agreed to me that what you do is you bring it for a Nidvas Yachar, and they said, no, it's a Nidvas Sin. But you're right, for him himself, he actually would hold that it would be brought as a Karban itself. However, Rava said that no, actually, Rabbi Lazar that says in our Mishnah, who asked me, Karav Oila, is only because when in the case of our Mishnah, Yemafish, Nekev of Oilasai, the mother, although it's Nekev, it cannot be brought as a Karban Oila, but it has a designation of a title of an Oila, because a female, like in birds, could be an Oila. Even here, the mother itself, ultimately, its proceeds are going to be used to purchase an Oila, so the child could be considered an Oila, and it's a Zachar, so it's going to be sacrificed. However, in the case of the Mishnah of Chavim Abayis regarding when it's a child of a Tumur of an Asham, where the original source of this sanctity, of the child of the Tumura, is from an Asham has nothing to do with an Oila. And this animal is not being brought as an Asham either. So to bring it as an Oila, that wouldn't be possible even according to Rabbi Lazar, because what it's being derived from itself is not an Oila, and therefore even they would agree, as the Mishnah says in Chavim Abayis, that it's only its proceeds are used for an Oila, but not the animal itself. That's where Gemara continues and says, Eisvi Abaye. However, Abaye asks on this interpretation of Rava, and he says, what? And the Gears is always, V'chiboy Rebbe Lazar, Shem Oila Limoy? Does Rebbe Lazar really require, like you're saying, that the mother, the derivation where it's being derived from, has to have a title of Oila, and only then could the child, if it's a Zachar, then it itself be sacrificed as a Karban Oila? But Vatanya Limna Raisa seems to say not like this. The Raisa says as follows. Hamafresh Nekevel Epischa, if someone designates a female animal for his Karban Pesach, where the Karban Pesach has to be male, but he designates a female animal. So the halacha is Yirat Sheis Taiv. You have to let it graze until it develops a blemish. Then the Timacher B'yavi B'demeo Pesach. Then, with its proceeds, you go and you purchase a Karban Pesach, which is what you need, but it has to be a male. Now let's say Yoldo. Let's say, before you sold it, it already gave birth. So Yirat Sheis Taiv. So you let that child graze until it develops a blemish. And you go and you sell it with its proceeds, you go and you use, because it's a derivation from this animal that has the same status, and you use it and you sell it to buy Karban Pesach. Now let's say Nishtari Acha Pesach, let's say they didn't sell it. It was left over until after Pesach. So here also, Tirat Sheistav, it let it graze until it develops a blemish, but here, V'yav B'demeo Shalomim, from its proceeds you actually buy Karban Shalomim. The reason for that is because Pesach, on any other day of the year, besides Erev Pesach, is actually brought as a Karban Shlam. As the Gemara says, Menachas Napegim on the base. Now, it itself is not going to be sacrificed as a Shlam, although a Shlam itself could be brought as a female, and this is a female animal, because here this animal itself is what's called a Kedusha Psula. It's Kedusha Dechuya. In other words, because it was designated initially as a Karban Pesach, and it's not fit to be a Karban Pesach, so it's rejected. So even though now, ultimately, the proceeds are used for a shlum, and shlum is valid to be a nekeva. But this nekeva, that its source is already rejected, it itself cannot be used as a shlum. Rather, grazes, develops a blemish, and then the proceeds are used to buy a Karban shlum. Now, let's say yalda. Let's say this same female animal that was designated as a Karban Pesach was left over till after Pesach, and then it gives birth. So that child, Yirat Sheistav, here also you graze until it develops a blemish, V'yimachar B'yavid B'dam of Shlam, and then you sell it and you use its proceeds for a Karban Shlam. Now Rabbi Lazar, he says, no, Hu Atzma Yikrav in the Gears of Shlam. It itself should be sacrificed as a Karban Shlamim, because the child is fit to be brought as a Karban Shlamim, no matter what the gender it is. Now, even though the mother cannot have, as we just said in the first half of the halacha, the mother that is derived from does not have a designation of a title of a shlamim on itself, because, as we said, it was initially sanctified to be a Karban Pesach, which it's not after Pesach. Yet still, Rabbi Elazar says, but the child, okay, the child is fit to be a Karban Shlamim no matter what it is. So it's going to be brought as a Karban Shlamim itself. Not like the Tanna Kamma, who says that even the child after Pesach has to graze and develop a blemish, and then the proceeds used to buy Karban Shlamim. Says Abayan Rava, V'ha'ocha d'leka shem shlam alimai, as we just explained. Here, the mother itself doesn't have the title of a shlam, and yet V'am Rabbi Elazar, Yikar Shlam, still Rabbi Elazar says, the child will be sacrificed as a Karban Shlam. That refutes your logic that you were explaining to resolve the contradiction, that when does Rabbi Elazar say, like in our Mishnah, that the child will be brought as a Karban Naila, is because the source that it comes from is also on some level Naila. In contrast to that Mishnah on the next Tav, Achavim Abayt, that the what it's derived from is an Ashram, so then the child cannot be brought as a Karban Naila, yet here we see that the mother is not a Shlam, yet the child could be brought as a Karban Shlam. So I'm like, Rabbi said to Abayi, he says, Achra Pesach Kamrit, you're asking me from this halacha regarding this animal after Pesach? Shani Achra Pesach, it's different after Pesach. The Maisa Pesach Gufi, because the leftovers of the Karban Pesach itself, meaning not the actual Karban Pesach that was slaughtered, but if let's say someone designated and separated Karban Pesach, but he ended up getting atonement with some other animal. So the one that he initially had designated wasn't utilized for anything, and it was left over, and now it's already after Pesach. The halacha is Karv Shlamim. That same animal itself is sacrificed as a Karban Shlamim. So therefore here also, when this animal, which was a female, was left over till after Pesach, it has the title of Shlamim on itself. And it gets removed from the title of Pesach, and it now takes effect the title of Shlamim. Now, you're right, you can't sacrifice it because it's a female. Because, like we said, it came from the strength and the derivation of it being a Pesach, which again was rejected. But the point is, it is called a Shlam, albeit a rejected Shlam, and therefore its child could be brought as a Karban Shlam, because that's exactly like my logic. If the mother has that title, even rejected, like in our Mishnah, when it was an Oil in the Cave, it cannot be brought, the child, however, could be brought in that same title. But then ask Gemara, but Ihachi, but if that's the case, then the reasoning of Rabbi Elazar is because, like Rabbi's reasoning is that because the mother does have the same title of Shlamim, and therefore the child could also be brought as a Shlamim. So then Nifli Nami Beresha. So then Rabbi Elazar should disagree in the Resha of the Braisa too. Where if let's say the animal gave birth before Pesach, Rabbi Elazar should say that the child itself should be sacrificed. Why? The child itself should be sacrificed as a Karban Shlamim, because before Pesach also, if someone slaughters a Karban Pesach for it being a Shlamim, it's valid, because what's called Pesach Mashayim HaShana, Pesach on any other day of the year, besides the 14th of Nisan, if it's the 12th of Nisan, it's the beginning of Nisan, it's actually brought as a Karban Shlamim. So therefore, even before Pesach, the mother also has the title of Shlamim. So why doesn't he disagree in that halacha too? The Tanna Kamma said, oh, before Pesach, oh, the child has to graze, develop a blemish, and it's not, so Rabbi Elazar should have said, no, the child itself is a Shlamim, because the mother there also has a title of Shlamim, if it's not exactly Erev Pesach. Then Amalei, Rabbi said to him, in the Hanami, you're right, Pollock. That case too, Rabbi Elazar would disagree. He just says in the other case, but in truth, that would be the same halacha that Rabbi Elazar would disagree. However, Bayame says no. Loi Pollock Midi. He doesn't disagree in that case at all, as it seems to be from the fact that there's that omission in the Braisa, and because he disagrees with the whole premise of Rabbi. The reasoning of Rabbi Elazar is not because the mother has the same title of a Shlamim, and therefore the child could be a Shlamim. Rather, the reason of Rabbi Elazar by all these cases is because the following idea. The Gemiri, we have a tradition, Lamakim Shahamaisar Hailech, that the place where the leftover goes, in other words, if let's say someone designated two animals for insurance purposes that, you know, he wants to make sure he has his carbon, he's very careful, very punctilious, and he wants to make sure he brings his carbon. Now, if let's say a case of let's say if an animal is lost and they separate another one, and you get a tome with the other one, then they find the first one. These are cases where there's a leftover over here, where you don't end up using it, because you get the atonement with the other animal. So the halach is, the place wherever the excess is going to go to, that's where havlat ha'ilach, that's where the child born would also go to. Now, so therefore the following halacha results. Someone separates a female animal for a carbon ha'ilach. So just like if, let's say, when someone designates a carbon ha'ilach and he gets atonement with a different animal, the halacha is that the second one is also sacrificed as a carbon ha'ilach, because that's essentially a carbon nedava, it's a donated carbon ha'ilach, and both of them are fit to be an ha'ilach, so the child is also going to be sacrificed as a carbon ha'ilach. If, let's say, in the case that we're describing, if they separate a female as a carbon ha'ilach, so the child is going to be sacrificed as a carbon ha'ilach, just like the maisa, just like the excess of the ha'ilach is sacrificed as a carbon ha'ilach. Now, so too by an asham. the excess of an ashram is left out to grace. So the child of a tumur of an ashram, as we had from that Mishnah of Chof and Beis, is also going to go out to grace. Now, therefore, that results now in this price also that we're discussing. So, because we explained Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah, we just explained Rabbi Elazar outside, explaining the Chof and Beis, and so too the price over here. The same thing applies, La'achar HaPesach, after Pesach, the Meiser, where does the Meiser go of the leftover of an animal that was designated for to be a Karban Pesach? Its halacha initially is that Karvi Shlam, that if you had atonement with something else, it's going to have, this animal's going to be sacrificed as a Karban Shlam. Oh, so that's why Vlad Nami Karv Shlam. That's why the child after Pesach is also going to be sacrificed as a Shlam. Avalefnei HaPesach, before Pesach, where the extra one, what's called the Meiser, is not fit for anything. For example, let's say someone designated two animals to be his Karban Pesach for insurance purposes. The other one is not initially fit to be a Karban Shlam because its unspecified designation is for to be a Karban Pesach. Now, one of them is going to be the extra one, which is not fit for Pesach, because you can't bring two Karban Pesachs, but it's not fit either to be a Karban Shlam. So therefore, the child of this Pesach is also not fit to be for anything. Rather, it goes based on what its mother is. And as the Gemara explains, what is its mother sanctified for? L'dmei Pesach, for its monetary value of a Karban Pesach. Because we said it's in the Keva, and its proceeds is for the, you can't bring it itself, but it's for monetary purposes. So v'lanami l'dmei Pesach. So to the child, it's also going to be for the monetary value of a Pesach, because we said where the Meiser goes nowhere. You can't use it as a Karban Pesach, because you only have two Pesach, you only have one Pesach, not two. And Shlam, it's not either, because its initial sanctification is not for that. Yeah, after the fact, it'll be a Shlam, or after Pesach, then even like a Tchila. But before, and it's not, and therefore, that's why we're saying in this situation, that then it's going to have the halacha of its mother, and that's why Rabbi Elazar doesn't disagree in that case. He says it's also going to be Yira, Ad Shistav, and then you sell it, and its monetary value goes for a Karban Pesach. However, Masav Rav Ukva Bar Chama, he asks on Abai's interpretation, he says, is that really so? Do we say that since the mother, which this female was designated as a Karban Pesach, is for the it has to be used for its monetary purposes for Karban Pesach, so Vlad Nami Ledmei, so therefore then the child has the same status as the mother, and it's also going to be brought for the monetary purposes of Karban Pesach? But Ratan, you look in the Braisa, it seems to contradict that premise. The Braisa says, Hamafresh Nekevel Pesach, someone designates a female animal for Karban Pesach, which is not valid, he, uval deisel, it, and let's say if it has a child, yirat sheyistav, would graze until it develops a blemish, the imachru v'yav b'dmein Pesach, and it grazes, and you bring from its monetary purposes for a Karban Pesach. Like we said in the Braisa. But Rav Elazar, he says, no, hu atma yikra Pesach. It itself is brought as a Karban Pesach. Now, that the question is, but v'ahocha di imi l'dmei, here you have the mother, as we said, it's a nekev, it's not valid for a Karban Pesach, its monetary purposes is going to be used for a Karban Pesach. The Amr Rebbe Elazar, still Rebbe Elazar says, who has to be Karban Pesach? The child itself will be brought as a Karban Pesach if it's a male, which can be brought as a Karban Pesach. V'loy makmin lebimein, it doesn't take on the status of its mother, which contradicts your concept of your premise, your premise of your concept. So Amr Ravini says, no, because actually, this case is not the case that we're talking about. Why? B'mafish behemim u'beres haskin. This is talking about, not like the case that we described, where it was born to the animal subsequently. He was talking about that when it was, this last halacha that we just quoted, was when he designated this female animal as a Karban Pesach, it was already pregnant. And therefore what? Rabbi Elazar Savak Rabbi Yechon Adama, Rabbi Elazar held Rabbi Yechon that he says, that if let's say someone sanctifies a pregnant animal, and Shairoi, he leaves over from the fetus for a different sanctity, Mishuyur, it's left over and it'll have a different sanctity like than the mother animal. We obviously see from that halacha that they're considered two different bodies. So therefore, even when you don't leave over the sanctity of the child to be different than the mother, but it's obviously not considered the body of the mother as one thing, and the sanctity of the fetus is not coming necessarily from the sanctity of the mother, because the ubalav yerchimayhu, he holds that the fetus is not considered a thigh, an extension, as part of the mother itself. The imahidu lekadosh kedusha guf. And you're right, in the case that we're describing, where the mother is obviously a female, so that's not valid for Karban Pesach, so it's not going to have physical sanctity, and yes, there it's going to be ledmei. Aval, and the gears is, who kedush? But the child, which is male, on it will take effect, the sanctity of Karban Pesach, because it's going directly on a male animal, that'll work. But if it's a derivation, then it's still like we're saying, like Abai says, yes, if the mother's ledmei, and the moish is not going for anywhere, then it actually will be ledmei, and this halacha is different, because it was kacha behemah mu'uberes. Now, Amalei Marzutra Bereda Amori LeRavina. He says, and actually, Hachana Mr. Abba, the answer we just gave is actually very logical. That the Behema Muberes is that we're actually talking about that it was a pregnant animal, because Midigtani Hiu Valde Sel. From the fact that the way he describes this case is talks about it and its child, which sounds like, yeah, both of them were there at the time that it was sanctified. Because or else it should have said, like the previous braces said it, it said, Hamafresh Nekevel Epischev. Someone designates a female animal to come Pesach. So it said, okay, first it spoke about the mother, Tirit, it goes at the graves. And then it said, Yoldo Zachav gives birth to a male, then it also has to go at the graves, which sounds like that was subsequent. Here, when it talks about them both, he of Al Desal, is obviously because it was Mekadesh when there's a Muberis, which therefore resolves the bias interpretation. Shmamina, we could infer from there that, yeah, it's exactly like we answered. Now, the Gemara continues on the Beis and further qualifies the opinions in our Mishnah. So, Amr Bisa Reb Chanin, he says, Umayda and the Gersa is always again, Umayda Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar agrees. And that is, even though, as we said in the Mishnah, he holds that if someone designates a female animal for his Karban Ayla, he says the child itself will be sacrificed as a Karban Ayla, but he agrees, B'mafresh nekeva la'asha, which seemingly would seem to be the same case, both Asham and Ayla have to be male, and if someone designated a female animal, still Rabbi Lazar would hold in the case of Asham, the ain b'na karav Asham, that even though it's before atonement, because after atonement would have to say that, even if it's before atonement, the son, who's male, could be valid for a Karban Asham, is not going to be sacrificed as a Karban Asham. So the Gemara asks, yeah, Pshita, obviously. And because the Gemara is assuming the interpretation of Rava that we previously mentioned, Ad Kamla Kama Rebbe Lazar, yeah, of course, where do we find Rebbe Lazar saying is Halacha El B'mafresh Nekeva La'ayla? It's only in the case where he designates a female animal as a Karban Ayla. The Ikashem Ayla Alimoy, where there is a title of an Ayla on the mother, like we said, because ultimately there's the Halacha of Ayla Sa'ayv, that an Ayla could be a female, at least in regards to bird karbanas. So therefore, the child will have that designation of its mother of an Ayla, and it's male, so it can be brought by itself, meaning, and not for its monetary value. But of course, in the case when he designates a female animal for Karban Asham, the Lekeshem Asham Alimai, where there is no title of Asham on his mother, meaning because we don't find, in contrast to Ayla, that there's ever a female Asham, because there's no bird that has that. And therefore, it's not going to take effect on it at all, the title of Asham. So you're right, of course, I feel the Rebbe Lazar might do like Karav Asham. Even Rebbe Lazar would agree that it wouldn't be sacrificed to Asham. Why do we need Rebbe Yisrael to tell us this? Says the Gemara, no, Ilav Dashminin, had he not told us this, Havimina, I would have said that actually time in Rebbe Lazar, that I would have said maybe the reason Rebbe Lazar is, Lav Mishum Deshem Oyla Liman. Not like we said from Rava, because it has a title of Oyla on its mother. El Mishum Dechazi Vlad Lakrava. Because ultimately, the child is fit to be sacrificed. Who cares about the mother? The child's a male, it could be born as a Karban Oyla, so that's why you're allowed to bring it. Oh, so Bahai Nami Achaz Lakrava. Then in the case of Asham, this child is also fit to be sacrificed because it's a male, and it can be sacrificed to Asham. So I would have thought to say that maybe Rebbe Lazar would hold over there also that it can be sacrificed. Kamash Balan, that's what we needed Rebbe Yisrael Chanina to say, that no, the reason Rebbe Lazar is because it has the title of the mother has the same title, which only applies by Ayla, but that wouldn't apply by Asham, because there is no Nekeva by an Asham. However, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that the reasoning is because the mother has the same name, the same title, so then Ademash Malon de Imbana Karbashim, if that's what the Rebbe is actually coming to teach us, then instead of him telling us that the child cannot be brought as a Karban Asham, Nishme'inan, he should have told, Rebbe Yisrael should have told us, the Imbana Karv Ayla, that the child of the Asham cannot be brought as a Karban Ayla, because, yeah, because the mother does not have a title of Ayla, because it's called an Asham. And the reason why that would have been better is because, yeah, but what then? Then by default we would have known that La'ashim, the same thing would apply to Karban Ashim, that it cannot be sacrificed. Because if we would be telling you that it cannot be brought as a Karban Ayla, where its mother, ultimately, since it's a female for an Ashim, which it itself cannot be sacrificed as an Ashim, its monetary value is going to go ahead and be brought for a Karban Ayla. And still we're saying that the child cannot be brought as a Karban Ayla, even though the mother has something of an earmarking for an Ayla. So to say that the child to be brought as an Ashim, where its mother doesn't have anything, it itself is not an Ashim, because it's female, and its money is not being used to purchase Asham, isn't it obvious that you can't bring the child as an Asham? Tell us a bigger, tell us better that it can't be an Ayla, and then for sure I would have known that it cannot be brought as an Asham. So it's like, no, Iyashmin and Ayla, had we only said that the child cannot be brought as an Ayla, Havimin, then that would have said, yeah, Ayla hu dilei karva, of course it can't be brought as an Ayla. Dilei akta shel ima, and the girsa is, because the mother wasn't sanctified of a kedusha's Ayla. Ultimately, the mother was designated to be an Asham. It's not an Asham, but for sure you can't bring the child as an Ayla because the mother doesn't have any. It's going to be an Ayla, it's monetary, but it was never designated for that at all. So that's why the child can't be an Ayla. Aval Asham, but regarding being an Asham, in the Shita Megubetz, Eis Gimel adds on the words, Kiven the Akta Sheli Imel Asham, since ultimately the mother was sanctified to be an Asham, so Eim of Vlad Karv Asham, I would say, although it's not an Asham, no physical sanctity, it's Monday sanctity, it's not for Asham, but it was, that was its title, so I would say maybe the child could be sacrificed as an Asham. Kamashmon, that's why you need to say, no, that the child can't even be brought as an Asham, and again, like we said, it can't be brought as an Ayla, and therefore it's not going to have that halacha. Rather, it's regarding its proceeds, but it itself is not going to be sacrificed as any carbon. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding Hamafresh Nekeva. We spoke about in the previous Mishnah that someone designates a female animal for an Ayla, which we spoke about that Machlekes in the previous Mishnah. So, to here, the Mishnah speaks about La Asham, which is the same idea, both Ayla and Asham need to be males. Here, he designated a female animal to be a carbon Asham. So as in the previous Mishnah, so the halacha of the Tanna Kamma holds is tirasha testayev, so it has to graze until it develops a blemish, and as everyone agrees to this premise, that with a female animal itself cannot be sacrificed, we spoke about the child, but tirasha testayev, so the female animal cannot be sacrificed, it grazes until it develops a blemish, b'timacha b'yavad b'dmeh asham, and it's sold, and you bring from its monetary value for the asham that he has to bring. Now, v'mkarv asham, if let's say his karban asham was already sacrificed from somewhere else, so then so the money that you have from selling this female asham is used for a donation of a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash. Now Reb Shimon, he actually says to machash lebamun. It could even be sold not like the Tanakam. Tanakam says, what do you do with a female asham? There's nothing to do. So obviously we say that it has to graze and develop a blemish. He says no. It could be sold without a blemish. Why? Since it has no utility at all, means say a female cannot be brought as an asham, so it's considered a bona fide blemish, and like anything that has a mum kavua, has a permanent blemish, the sanctity doesn't take effect on it in a physical way at all, what's called kedushas aguf, as a monetary sanctity. Monetary sanctity can be sold right away, it doesn't need to wait for a blemish. Blemish only when it has kedushas aguf, and then when it's monetary value, go ahead and bring a carbon asham. Now, as Rashi points out, although in the previous Mishnah regarding when we said if you mafresh in the kevah for Ayla, Reb Shimon does not dispute that halacha, and he agrees with that halacha, that Mishnah, that it needs a blemish. The difference is because over there, like we were saying, the logic all throughout is that ultimately, even though it's a female, it does have the designation of an Ayla, like we find by a bird carbon, where an Ayla could take effect on the female, albeit by birds. But by an asham that's a female, we don't find any female at all regarding asham, so that's a bona fide permanent blemish, and therefore the sanctity is only going to be monetary sanctity, and therefore he holds that it can be sold even without a blemish. Now, the Gemara therefore uses both opinions' logics to ask on the other opinions. So the Gemara starts off asking on the Tanna Kamma. V'lama li testav, why the Tanna Kamma say that it has to graze and develop a blemish? Timacher, let it be sold. Since it's not fit at all, a female for Ashen, so it didn't have physical sanctity in the first place. It's a monetary sanctity. It can be sold without a blemish. So Rabbi Yehuda Merabi says, no, the reason is because Darmina, we say, according to the Tanna Kamma, Migud and Afsla Kedusha is done once the animal has that a monetary sanctity takes effect in it. So since it's an animal, then the physical sanctity takes effect in it. Now, obviously not the sacrifice because it's female, but at least for this element that it would require a blemish before it's allowed to be sold. Now, Amar Rava, he says, for the fact that we see it needs the blemish, even though that really its sanctity was really only for monetary sanctity because it's a female, but still we see obviously that a physical sanctity takes effect on it. We just say, however, it just can't be sacrificed because a Asham can't be a female, but we see that Zayis Emeris, he says, what you see from this is that Hikdash, he's extrapolating halacha from this. Hikdash Zach L'damav, if someone sanctifies a male animal for its monies, let's say for the monetary value of an Ayla or an Asham, but a male itself could be brought as an Ayla Asham, but he's not. He's sanctifying the male animal for its monetary purposes, that, okay, when it's sold, it'll be used to buy an Ayla or an Asham. So says Rabbi, no, so you say the same Migo over here. Since it's taking effect in it, a monetary sanctity, so Kaddish Kedusha Saguf, so by default, the physical sanctity would automatically take effect, and yes, since it itself is fit to be sacrificed, it itself would be sacrificed, and it's not going to be sold for its purposes to use towards buying an Oilor and Asham, like we see from this halacha, or Yehuda Merav. Now, actually, the Gemara tells us that Itmar, we learned that originally, this was a machlekes. Hikdish Zach L'damav, someone sanctifies a male animal for its monetary purposes. So although the male could be brought as Oyla Asham, he says, no, I wanted that it should be sold and its proceeds will be used to buy an Oyla Asham. So Rav Kahana, he says, but Kaddish is a goof. But it automatically, once it takes effect of monetary sanctity, it has a physical sanctity, and it itself is going to be brought as the carbon. But Rav Am, he says, in the Kaddish is a goof, he says, no, it's not a physical sanctity, it's a monetary sanctity. That's what he designated for. But Vahadebe Rav, Rav Kahana, ultimately Rav retracted, as we just quoted him before, and agreed to the opinion of Kahana, from the halacha of Rav Kahana, which we started off the Gemara, who he answered and explained the halacha of the opinion of the Tanakhama, because we say Amigui, that it automatically takes effect, and therefore he says, yeah, it's going to have Kedusha Sagov. Now, the other opinion in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon, he says, no, Timachash Lebemam, it can be sold even without a blemish. To which the Gemara asks, Am Levchir Barov and Reb Yechanan, well, what's with what we just said, the logic of the Tanakhama? We should say, Migi did not like Kedusha Sagov, Adam, and once it takes effect into the body of this animal, a monetary sanctity, so Techas Lenam Kedusha Sagov, it should automatically take effect of physical sanctity. Which Amalei said to him, Reb Shimon, Letameh, Reb Shimon goes according to his reasoning that we know elsewhere, Dama, that he says, no, committed lechazik leleguf, anything that it's not fit for the body itself to be that carbon, so lo yinachs lekedusha leguf, then the physical sanctity of that carbon will not take effect. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Asham ben Shana. There are certain carbon ashams that are supposed to be, the animal is supposed to be brought when it's in its first year, like an asham of a Nazir or Metzaira, as the Pasuk says, Keves, a lamb which is in its first year. But instead, Vahivi ben Shtayim, he brought it when it's in its second year, not the way the carbon is supposed to be. Or the other way around. Ben Shtayim, a carbon ashram that's supposed to be in its second year, like Asham Gizelis, when he stole, or Me'ila misappropriate, or Shef Charufa, with the halacha it says in the Pasuk that it's Ayil, it's supposed to be a ram which is in its second year. Instead, Vahivi ben Shana, he brought an animal in its first year. So Tanakhama says Kshera, so it's valid, but it's going to be valid as a carbon, but it's not fulfilling the obligation of the person who's supposed to bring this carbon ashram because it wasn't done appropriate to the halacha of being in its first year or its second year. Shimonim, he disagrees, he says, no, kal atzman ein kadoshim, the whole thing is not sanctified at all, it's not even a kosher carbon because it's not being brought in the way that it's supposed to be. So you see this concept that where he holds that whatever is not chazi le guf, it's not fit for the halacha itself that it's supposed to be brought for, so then it's leidach se kedushas a guf, it doesn't take effect in it, a physical sanctity at all, and therefore that's the reason for his disagreement with the Tanakam, exactly the opposite of the migui. He doesn't hold of the migui because it's not going to take effect, a physical sanctity, it can't have a monetary sanctity at all because it doesn't have a physical sanctity. So you can't say, oh, because it has monetary sanctity, it's going to have physical sanctity. It says it doesn't have a sanctity whatsoever because it's not fit for the thing itself. However, on this premise, the Gemara asks, but Vayri Machos is Man. But you have the halacha of when it's not yet the time of when it can be brought as a carbon, which the halacha has to be 8 days old to be a carbon. With the Loi Chazi, it's not fit yet to be a carbon, yet Va'am Reb Shimon the Kaddish, Reb Shimon says, this is brought in Masechta Schul and of Pe'alav and Medalav, Reb Shimon teaches that Kalaroi Lov al Achazman, whatever is fit, that at a later point in time, it will be fit. So if someone slaughters it out of the Azara, he violates the Loi Saseh, which obviously is only if it has a physical sanctity, monetary sanctity not. But yet here we have something that it's not fit for Legufe, and yet still we see that actually a physical sanctity will take effect. Says the Gemara, no, Shani Mechus is Man, the halacha of that, if it's not yet 8 days old, is different, the Chazi Lamacher, because it is fit for tomorrow. So we could say it is fit for it, it's not fit this moment, but it's fit for it, and therefore it could have a physical sanctity in the regards of being Chayiv of Shchut Bachutz. But then the Gemara says, if that's the case, then what do you do with the Brice we just brought before? Asher ben Shtei Shana and Vevi ben Shana, one of the cases was, if it's supposed to be an Ashram in its second year, and instead he brings an Ashram in its first year, a lamb instead of a ram. Chazi Lashana is also going to be fit at a later point in time when it gets into its second year. So why over there he's not going to say that it's going to have a kedushas haguf, and he's saying it's kolatzman in kedushim, and that he says it's not going to be a kosher carbon at all? So it's going to be rather elahan the time. You're right. The reason of the Reb Shimon ben Mechusas Man, this that he says that it is going to have a sanctity, like we said to be chayv and shchut dechutz, is for a different reason. It's not because it's going to be chazal amacha, like we see. It doesn't say that by Ashram ben Shana to be for what's supposed to be Ashram ben Shtayim. Rather, it's because the yalaf le mebuchar. He learns it out from the laws of the firstborn animal. The time like Linda Bryce. Shimon ben Yehuda Aimer Amr Meshum Reb Shimon. He says the name of Reb Shimon. Mechus is man nichnas ladir lesaser. An animal that's not yet old enough to be brought as a carbon. It's under 8 days old. If it's put into the pen, to being the 10th animal to type the animals, then one could go ahead and put that in, even though it's not 8 days old. Why? Because vahareiku b'chayr. We learn that from the laws of the firstborn animal. Because ma b'chayr kadosh, just like the firstborn animal, is sanctified already when it's coming out of the womb of its mother, which is lufnei zmanai, before the time that it could be brought as a sacrifice, because it has to be at least 8 days old. But yet it is sanctified just by virtue, like the pasuk says, coming out of the womb, and it's pet terechem. Oh, and even though it's v'kar of la'achar, that's lufnei zmanai, even though v'kar of la'achar zmanai, it's only sacrificed later point in time. Saf mechus zman, so to any carbon that it's not yet the 8 days old of when it can be sacrificed, Kaddish lifnei zmanai. It could be sanctified before its time. It's just that bekarv lachazmanai. It's sacrificed at a later point in time. So that's different than regards to it's in the first year and the second year. That's regarding its sacrifice. That he doesn't say it's valid because later it'll be able to be sacrificed. It's just regarding the sanctification. Sanctification, like mechuz zman, could take effect, like we find by the laws of Bechar. And therefore he says over there that, yeah, one would be chayiv if he does shechita b'chutz, even though it's not yet 8 days old. But still, the concept is, like he said before, which his opinion on Mishnah, that timachash lebemun, because it doesn't have any physical sanctity whatsoever. It's going to have a monetary sanctity, but it's like Kedusha's dumb, and it's not going to say, oh, that Kedusha's aguf should take effect, because he says, no. If it's not fit legufay, it can't have Kedusha's aguf at all, in contrast to the opinion of the Tanakhama.